It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm saying what I'm saying.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue rolling here. Remember, tomorrow, the Rocket season gets started. Their quest to try to get to the playoffs. If you missed it, we had 7-time champion Robert Horry, who said he expects them to be a 7 or an 8 seed. So there you go. That's big with the West. Teams like Memphis coming back. Tyler said he's going to potentially try to get to that game on Friday against the Grizzlies. How about that?
Yeah, I figured it'd be a good time to catch some hoops early in the season.
As they are more healthy this year, we'll see what they look like. Here's some teams in the West. 7 or 8 seed. I like that. I like that thought. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch. Where do you expect the Rockets to finish?
Hey, Houston fans. I am so happy.
And if you missed that, we'll talk about it a little bit more. They not only locked up for the next 3 years Jalen Green, and I see Ocho wondering why they did that, but they locked him up 3 years, 106. They also locked up Alperen Şengün to a 5-year, $185 million contract. So the Rockets kind of doing their thing as they get ready to start their season tomorrow. All right, Clint, I want to get your thoughts and the people's thoughts on this, because I think it's clear, you know as much as anybody, that football, whether it is high-level college football or especially the NFL, it's, as they say, a copycat league. You start to see stuff that works, and people going to do it. Brady, all right. We saw what the Giants did. Try to get it right up the middle. We may not have four guys like that, but we're going to try like hell to try to do that. I remember teams would try to replicate what the Patriots and Belichick would do to Peyton Manning. Just play cover two and try to force him to throw everything in front of him and force him to try to get greedy and make a big play, and that worked. Mahomes, too. We started to see that. Are we starting potentially to see the blueprint to C.J. Stroud and this offense? And Dan Orlovsky kind of discussed this. They discussed this on NFL Live yesterday, and I thought this was interesting because the Packers did something very similar to another team the Texans played this year.
Is this a blueprint to try and defend Stroud and limit him going forward?
Oh, 100%. Specifically without Nico Collins on the field. You know, I said last week, even they scored 40, Nico was missed, and you saw it again. So if this Houston offense is still going to be relatively poor running the football on first down, they've had some explosives, but not consistent enough, and they get into those obvious passing situations. This offensive line, since week one, has struggled in obvious pass situations to protect C.J. Stroud. He's just covered up against it. Now this is two moments where teams are running this very specific scheme and having a ton of success doing it.
Everybody's going to try to do it. Everybody's going to continue to try to do this. The Vikings had success, as he said also, that they stole from what Brian Flores did, and it worked for Brian Flores. We saw that was a bad performance from the offense, and then it worked again. I would imagine, Clint, this is going to be something that the Texans are going to have to deal with until they can show that they can operate out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be criminal if defensive units and defensive coordinators around the league didn't try to some degree duplicate what it is Minnesota did and what it is that Green Bay did this week. I mean, because look, Green Bay's got some good players. Green Bay doesn't have a guy that just lines up and puts his hand in the dirt and whoops your ass the way that,
they have been complaining about Gary.
Yeah,
leading into
that. I mean, but watch him play. I mean, he's not on that level. He's not a real twitchy player like Jonathan Greenard. I mean, he's a big dude, but he's. I mean, they got some good players, but they don't have guys that are just going to win one-on-one battles over and over and over again. That wasn't the case with the Texans. It wasn't about one-on-one battles. It was about miscommunications. It was about poor scheme. It was about twist the TE games and twist games inside by middle linebackers kind of deal. I mean, it wasn't one guy lining up and just destroying you. So, it would be criminal if teams did not, you know, try their damnedest to do what Green Bay and Minnesota did. Now, whether it's what Minnesota did and they just got a couple of dudes that are winning one-on-one battles versus tight ends a lot of the times, or it's what Green Bay did, it's all about personnel. I mean, do the teams moving forward that you play, do they have the guys that are capable of playing at that level? Do they have a unit that's capable of executing those things flawlessly over and over and over again that can handle that level of game plan to where they just kind of pick and choose where they want to do these different twist games on offensive linemen? I don't want to sell that part of it short, but yes, Ron, every defense the Texans face moving forward to some degree are going to get what the Texans got against Green Bay and what they got up against Minnesota. But here's the deal. It wasn't like crazy blitz rates. I mean, they blitzed on third down a lot. They didn't blitz on first and second down. And when they did blitz, it wasn't like they lined up and blitzed everybody. They zero blitzes. Yeah,
zero.
I mean, they did. They executed some fairly safe blitzes, right? Like the stuff with the two inside linebackers. Those are dogs, not blitzes. A dog is linebackers coming. Blitzes are DBs coming, right? I mean, so it was a relatively safe way to attack a quarterback the way that the Packers did. It wasn't like they took a bunch of risk and just showed cover zero and brought all this pressure. I know it looked like it when we were watching it, but that's not what they did.
They would walk a lot of people up.
Sure, they'd show it back out,
and then some would. Because I remember one time they walked up. It seemed like everybody, and the only person that actually came was the safety off the edge. Like they would do.
Yeah.
The only thing, just listening to you speak about this, is, you know, like some of the examples we gave. Like, hey, man. Yeah, you got to have Bill Belichick to try to confuse, you know, yeah. Peyton Manning, or what they would do to the Chiefs a lot, where they would put Stephon Gilmore on Travis Kelce and double team, Hill. Everybody doesn't have the ability to have Stephon Gilmore to do this. What you're saying, it seems like most teams should at least have the ability to be able to do those type of blitzes. Right, like if this
should,
is something,
yes.
You know what I mean? If this is
especially the ones on this schedule moving forward.
I'm just saying, like it'd be one thing if it's like, all right, man, hey, Quinnen Williams just kicked the Texans' ass last year. Everybody don't have Quinnen Williams. But everybody can watch film and do those dog blitzes.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. So that's the other part of this concerning with the Texans. It should be fixable. But if this is giving you problems like it did against Minnesota, like it did against Green Bay, it's not like this is something everybody isn't capable of doing it. This isn't a deal of, well, they got a special player or a special group of guys. Like the Brady thing is like, yeah, get in Brady's face. Yeah, everybody don't have Strahan, OC,
right.
Justin Tuck across the front line. This is a case where, as you said, the Packers just, like any two linebackers can do those stunts.
Yeah, I think for me, they are very basic in what they're doing. I think for me, as we move forward, Ron, it's like for Indy, like, does Indy really have defensively an in-your-face style of play? They typically do not, if I remember correctly. But do they have the in-your-face type of play? Do they have a corner that they feel as good about as, what's my man's name in Green Bay, their number one corner?
Alexander.
Yeah, Alexander. Do they, and he's trying to fight guys all over the field all day long. Like, do you have that mentality on your, if you don't, it's going to be hard to be that all of a sudden just be, we're going to bring all a crazy level of physicality.
They got speed. Like, they got speed in Franklin.
But
those linebackers that will.
Yeah, yeah. No, like that's the only part that, as we say, can other teams do it is like, I mean, I don't know that you're going to be able to replicate their personnel. I don't know that you're going to be able to replicate their their physicality, their in-your-face style, but you're definitely going to be able to execute some of these some of these blitzes.
It's not just like, who are the Vikings corners? Because they were, I mean, they were kind of rolling this kind of the same way, leaving their guys out there.
Yep.
And that was with Nico on the field doing the same thing. It's interesting to see if this is something, because the other part of this, Clint, is it is very clear, and it came out even more, fellas. Like, we ain't seen CJ that frustrated. Like, that ticked off, appearing that, you know, I don't know if confused or what, but there was a CJ out of his element. Yeah. And the thing is, like, is it pressure that's causing that? Is it, obviously it's pressure, but I mean, is it, because I'd imagine, and you could attest to this more, you've played quarterback of the league. I would imagine pre-snap, the way that the Vikings and the Packers did this, where you got all these guys standing up here, you don't know who's going to leave, you don't know. Yeah. Like, you're thinking a lot. You're trying to figure out a lot and causing a lot of stress. And then they're executing it. It just seemed like levels of frustration we hadn't seen before. We talked about this in the offseason, Clint. All right, teams have time to watch film. What are they going to try to do to get to them to try to cause maybe potential weaknesses? I don't know if this is a weakness for CJ, but clearly we're seeing a different player.
Yeah.
And how he is reacting to things.
Yeah, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings, they've got Stephon Gilmore and Shaquille Griffin was the other corner, but Gilmore's definitely one of those kind of guys, one of those caliber guys. But to answer your question, Ron, like, the frustration is when you expect to have success. As a quarterback, you line up and it looks so simple, right? Again, I'll go back to the conversation I heard the In the Loop guys having on the play that Jeff Schwartz broke down, where C.J. Stroud, Dalton Schultz blocks down and the outside guy ends up coming and just de-cleats C.J. Stroud from his backside. Like, on that play, the Texans slid the offensive line in the same direction where the running back was free releasing.
Whew.
Like, who in the hell does that? Like, it doesn't make sense. You slide away from the running backs for where the running back is free releasing. That way the quarterback's backside is taken, everybody over there is taken care of. And then if he gets pressure, the DB, the defensive player that comes right in his face, the running back's right there hot, you give the ball to him. Right? You're sliding and picking up the guys that you're throwing hot off of, or that you think you should be throwing hot off of, or at least that by design, your running back is there to secure. You're sliding to those guys. How does that happen? Right? It shouldn't happen. And that's not, like, in CJ's mind, it's like, hey, they should slide this thing left. Here's my hot route. They bail, so okay, I'm good and clean. Well, all of a sudden, he's getting de-cleated from the backside because they slid the wrong way. It's NFL football, man. Like, it just doesn't all add up, and CJ's too good a dude to throw people under the bus. That's what I think it is. I mean, CJ is too good a dude to say we got to clean up our protection issues. Whether it's scheme or it's communication, we have to clean up our protection stuff. It's our protection issues. It's unacceptable because they do some stuff, Ron, from a protection standpoint. Even if you look at it and you say, all right, we just can't do this. The Texans just can't get it done. They can't get it communicated. They can't get it done. Okay, then shelve it. Change formations. Go there are protections out there that are very, 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 very simple and safe that you can go to and run your offense. Critical situations, critical third downs, run your offense out of that set. Quit doing the stuff where you're asking Dalton Schultz to block edge defenders. Right? I mean, that just... Week 7, man, we got to start shelving some things and moving on with what they're asking these guys to do.
Hey, there was something else that Dan said in that cut, and I'm wondering how people feel about this. One of the things he said is, yeah, teams are going to keep doing this, especially as long as Nico Collins is out. He also said the Texans missed him in the game against the Patriots, even though they scored 41 points. As we sit back, you watch the film, you've watched it. Was it as bad to you, like as much of a desperation of not having Nico Collins in that game? to you, Stout, now watching it a second time, do you get a sense that, like, he is like, not just missed, but greatly, greatly missed in this offense right now?
I don't think he would have solved the problems on Sunday. There was too many problems. It was too many scheme, O-line, no separation. Like, I don't think throwing one guy that can separate a little bit is going to solve it. Is he? Would he be? Would you be a better offense if you got the most productive? Yeah. Hell yeah, you would be. But I have a hard time. I look back at the two games previously that stick out like a sore thumb that Nico did play in, where the offense bogged down because of pressure, and there was no, like, I don't remember, I didn't go back and watch him, but like in the Baltimore game, there was no like glaring, all right, Nico, or the Minnesota game. Like, I don't recall exactly how it all went down. And I'm not talking about, look, the scramble stuff and finding a guy open, that's cool. I mean, I'm not talking about those kind of plays. I'm talking about big body slants, banging on his chest in a critical situation, the back shoulders, the over the top fade in the red zone, stuff like that. Like where you're throwing in traffic and he's capable of doing those things. But as we have the conversation about Nico being missed Sunday and what kind of difference it would make, I just look back at a few games where pressure was the problem. And with the exception of some scramble drills where he opened up, it's like, you know, what happened? Where was he in those moments? So I don't know how to answer the question. I don't think it's as cut and dry as one may think when Nico's the most productive wide receiver in the league. Kind of.
Yeah, just to me, I think a couple of things he forces. One, I think he forces potentially Jaire Alexander to be on him, which means he's not on Diggs or mm-hmm. Tank, and they're playing lesser guys and could probably get separation quicker and you know, help that way. I also think getting the ball out quick and just getting it in his hands, especially when they are blitzing and have so many guys at the line of scrimmage or quick slants or quick things, and he's obviously a load to bring down, may potentially force them to not, you know, put as many guys at the line of scrimmage because they're protecting against him and the other guys who are playing against weaker corners. I think they just needed to get quick stuff out, and I think he could have his presence with himself and then him, you know, allowing them to go against weaker corners would have helped this thing just a bit. So I'm with him on that. I think that it does look different. There have been some second halves where this team and this offense has struggled, but they have found big plays with him at times in the second half. All right, we got to have a conversation because, yes, Nico Collins is missed, but damn it, he ain't supposed to be missed this bad. It shouldn't be like this. And we got to have a conversation about those other two guys who are supposed to be a part of that five-headed monster. That's Tank and Diggs. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Fellas, good to be here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Texans Ticket Tuesday coming up, 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets for this big, big game on Sunday against the Colts. It's wild because, as Sean Pendergast was saying earlier this week, which would be Monday,
Pendergast and Payne,
that the Texans could all but kind of end the division if they win this game on Sunday. They'd go to 6-2, and they'd be 4-4 with a sweep, so essentially a 3-game lead. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean. It can go that way, or then it could go, hey, we're tied for the division with a split with the Colts. So it's a huge, huge game, and you got a chance to be on the front row in the bullpen.
Ooh.
In the 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that for your chance to win a pair of those tickets. Coming up in a 5 o'clock hour. All right, fellas, people out here, we gotta have a conversation. Sometimes there's a need to have very real conversation. And yes, these two fellas, I believe, are being let off the hook a little bit because of the offensive line is so bad. And like you said, Clint, everybody could see it. It was in front of it. There was no missing the pressure and the issues that the offensive line from a pass perspective were having in the game. And it's been an issue, not to that extent on Sunday, but it's been an issue throughout the year. But Clint, the thought was, hey, the Texans have the best overall wide receiving core in football. There's a thought that, yeah, they got, when you talk about Nico, yep, you talk about Diggs, you talk about Tank, they've got three guys where, good God, it's going to be tough to be able, you can't double everybody, and somebody is going to get with, going to be going up against a corner that they are better than. Because these are all, you know, ones or twos in this thing. Well, Clint, it looks like right now that Nico Collins is the only real difference maker at receiver. Diggs has been nice and has been, to me, more of a possession-type receiver. He's been getting a lot of third-down catches, which is valuable, but there's not been any, whoa, like, damn, like you've had with Nico.
Diggs was open.
And then Tank has just been, it's been odd from the jump. It's been like a gadget thing. Then Nico gets hurt. And against the Patriots, he had a pretty solid game, caught a touchdown. And then this one, I mean, my man did catch a ball in this game. And their struggles, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, hey, man, it ain't like that they running away from folks and they just wide open. If you look at it, Clint, the Packers' corners just locked them up. They were always there. There was no separation getting away from them. And that is the surprising point, especially those two. We thought for us that those two would be the guys that uncover quick, guys that you can – we've seen Tank just, bam, create separation immediately, Diggs as well, that they were doing it in training camp. But, boy, I don't know, boy. That their production is not near what I thought it would be. And you wouldn't think that it would be this bad with Nico out.
Well, I mean, here's the deal: we thought we had at least two number ones, if not potentially three number ones, guys that could line up against some of the best corners in the league, and in man situations create separation. And that sounds crazy, but I think Tank is probably, if you just watch the guy play, is probably the guy that is the best at creating separation. I think there were some advanced stats out there last year where he was one of the best in the league at creating separation. And so regardless of where you're at, you think two and a half, like there is at the very least, you felt like I felt like with the Texans that if one guy goes down, you're still in a really good spot and can really be explosive. You don't shift your offense. You just keep on keeping on, and good things can happen, and you can still be explosive. You can still score points. CJ can still have opportunities in the screen game, quick game, mid-range game, and the deep game. And it just this week, man, this week was what I thought was an opportunity first and foremost for Tank Dell to be to be that difference maker, that impact player, that explosive, big play caliber wide receiver, and the guy was a non-factor. And I agree.
Dropped a touchdown to boot.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I mean that's you got to catch those. I mean that's in the absence of Nico Collins, you got to catch those kind of deal. That changes the game, by the way, if he does catch that. Obviously on the scoreboard, but I'm talking about that's jumping out to a 7-0 lead after a turnover would be absolutely huge on the road against Green Bay, especially as good as the defense ended up playing in hindsight. So, but yeah, I think we've talked about this before. I think Stephon Diggs is, he could still be a number one, but he is more an interior number one, more of a, I don't want to be disrespectful and say possession, but I will say more of a possession underneath.
Cooper Kupp type.
Yes.
If he's going to be a number one.
Next. Yes. I think he's still got some of that in him, but he's not an outside wide receiver that can be a number one, which is what we really talked about all along. I don't know if it's ever going to happen or if it really even has happened, but I think Nico Collins is a true boundary X wide receiver on the ball. Don't move him, and he's your safety net. I thought Tank Dell was your outside receiver to the field, a move guy that can do all your outside receiver things as well as handle all the movements. And boy, Tank has been a non-factor. So yeah, this week was a rough look for Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and you got to throw Dalton Schultz in that mix as well. You know, with the exception of the over route, the deep over route that he caught early in the game, which was a zone coverage, settling in that zone for Dalton. With the exception of that, man, there's just not much separation. Probably CJ probably could have went to him on the out route that he threw on 3rd and 13 over to Tank, I think it was. probably could have tried to squeeze one into Dalton Schultz. He may have created a little separation across the middle on an over route. But, I mean, just all in all, man, those three guys. And then Joe Mixon did great in the run game, but what happened to using Joe Mixon in the pass game? The way that they did Josh Jacobs in the pass game. It's very, very interesting to see that you had four of your five-headed monster available out there, and it was such a drop-off from when Nico's there.
Yeah, like for me, it with those two guys and the amount of pressure they're sending, somebody has at least an advantage where they're in man and it's one-on-one. And you would even if some of these things were sacked, there was not a where Tony Romo was coming back saying, "Ooh, boy, if they could have got that blocked, he was wide open.
Yeah.
Like there was no like separation. And look, the Texans, and that's you know, to contrast what we saw on the other side, the Texans were getting pressure and were bringing people, uh-huh. And you could clearly see separation from guys. There was separation, and you would think, in particular, with the first quick steps of Diggs and Tank, that they would be creating like levels of separation where it's just easy to get to or easy to see. But I don't know, maybe those corners with the Packers are really, really good. I don't know. Like I know Jordan Addison and Jefferson just gave
well,
them hell.
Well, look, I think there's two things can be true. I think they are an in your face style of defense and they're good. But I'm telling you, there were even the underneath routes. Like I'm watching ESPN right now. They're showing some of the different pressure packages and like somebody's running a crossing route, a shallow route, and maybe available to CJ Stroud. But in what offense is CJ Stroud? Are you starting with your shallow? Right? Like, I mean, these are all concepts. Like a shallow's not typically a blitz beater. Like your slants and stacks and stuff like that. You're not running a shallow and expecting your quarterback to typically start there. And so, I think schematically, like I was very, very turned off surprised by the lack of like, all right, we got five possible wide receivers in this group. We're going to keep the back end a block and we got four guys and we're going to all four run some 5-yard routes. We're going to create some picks, some stacks, some snags. All these different slants and even hitches with soft corners or soft slot defenders. And we saw very little to none of that. I mean, very little to none. And that was surprising that even if you get into the moment, like you've got this for a group that's so prepared, like you would think you get into the second half of that game and they're still pressure and you go, hey, all right, guys, forget the damn game plan. We're going to our pressure package. This is it right here. This is what we're doing. It never changed.
Yeah, it seemed like the response was just run it.
Yeah.
Just running it. And they had some success with that, but that seemed like that was the answer. All right, coming up, as we said, big, big moves for the Rockets. We'll see. Did you agree with him? You agree? Are you good with the Rockets bringing back their two cornerstone guys now? Because now that's where they are. These two guys, Shingun and Jalen Green, are leading this organization moving forward. You good with that? We'll discuss that.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coming up.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I love the text line. And YouTube and Twitch. Old generic opponent on YouTube and Twitch. Clint says, Tyler, just wanted to say that I finally finished Preacher on AMC, and I thought you were really, really good on that show.
I have heard that.
Damn.
And I've never seen the show, but...
Hey, boss. I looked up. I said, what the hell is he talking about? Whoever this Dominic Cooper fella is...
Yeah, I've heard this.
Tyler, this is... I mean, I think you're a very attractive young man. Now, this fella's got you beat a little bit, but I think maybe it's just because he's really kind of self-pushed together. But I mean, this could be a cousin or a twin. Like, there
is... I've never...
You can see
no
it.
No question.
Can't I'm, you? There's a couple... Like, this one right here, Clint? That is Tyler right there.
I've never seen a second of that show. It's Preacher, right? But,
Dom Cooper.
Yeah, a few years ago, one of Wifey's coworkers, we were at some outing, and they randomly were like, oh my gosh, you look like the guy from Preacher.
Was it ladies or guys?
They were freaking out. It was a couple. It was a lady and a dude. And they were like, we've been watching it. Oh my gosh, you could be his twin.
You might want to have her. Megan might want to look out for that young lady. She might have been angling.
I've gotten that.
Angling to get to you. Oh, Dom Cooper. Wow. That is.
I mean, how have you not gone and looked at it yet?
I have. I've Googled him. I just haven't seen the show.
I'm surprised you ain't watched the show yet, Chief.
I've heard it's a decent show, too, but I have heard that from multiple people. And back in the day when I had the long shaggy hair and I was a bit younger, I got a lot of, didn't like this one, got a lot of primetime Pau Gasol. That was my doppelganger.
Don't have it. I ran into him in a club once in Memphis.
Really?
Hey. How'd that go for you?
I mean, it wasn't for me. It's him, man. That dude just tall as hell, man.
That's when you're so tall, there's no way you can anywhere without being noticed.
He had, we in a club. And, like, this is, what is this? This got to be 2005, 6 or something. This is right into the throwback era.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I had a Ray Lewis Miami Hurricanes jersey on. I mean, this is, I was strong at the throwback season. I had about 10 good ones. Archie Griffin, that was one of my favorites. Ray Lewis, I had a bunch of them. But he was in there in slacks and a button-up shirt tucked in. Just tall as hell. No kind of dancing, just
when you pal Gasol, you ain't got to try real hard.
Him and Mark was there. His brother, they're from.
Yeah.
His brother is from there. Obviously, he played in Memphis. So his brother played in high school in Memphis. But they just sit over just big as hell, big and tall as hell. Yeah. Good times for you. Well, good for you, man. There you go. Oh, Dom Cooper. There you go. I don't see Pal, but
You'd have to have seen me when I was a teenager and I had some long shaggy hair going.
Well, let's see. Well, maybe Sengun can kind of, you know, turn himself into a Pau Gasol type player over the next 10 years. If you missed it, Kelly Iko, The Athletic, reporting this and many others. First, we heard about it yesterday. Tyler came with breaking news that Jalen Green came to an agreement on a three-year, $106 million extension. He'll get $33.5 million in the first year of the deal, has a player option. But then later on, Alperen Sengun signed a five-year, $185 million contract to remain with the Rockets. They spoke today. Both were happy that they were able to get the extensions done. And I said this to the people, and I'm wondering people's thoughts on there. Y'all good with this? Clint, Tyler, y'all good with this? Because when you make this commitment, Clint, you make the commitment, and this is where you're going to roll for a minute, right? There is no more thought of, all right, well, at least right now, no thought of we'll trade them and try to bring in somebody else. What? Nope, you have made the decision to go to these guys. And I get it. Robert Horry earlier said it's what he felt like that was the right thing for them to do. I will say this. I don't see one of these guys being the best player on a championship team. I don't see that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a bad decision to sign both of these guys. They still will be able to have the ability to maybe add one of this. Now, I do think these guys can be twos and threes on a championship team, and I think they've shown that. But I don't necessarily think they'd be the best player at this point right now. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe one of the young guys, who knows, maybe Reed Shepard turns into something more. And you know, Thompson and the other guys they have there.
Let's go, Rockets.
But overall, you're feeling on them making this commitment. You feel good about this commitment for the Rockets.
Well, I do, but I'm putting everything I have wholeheartedly in Ime Udoka agreeing to the deal. I mean,
if Silas was the coach, you'd have a different feel.
Yeah, I'd have a different feel about it. I'd feel like there's some pushing around being done. Like, I trust that Ime Udoka is one that signed off on this and feels like he can win with it. It feels like he can make it work. I agree with you in terms of you know what level these guys are. I don't see the one of them being a one on championship caliber team. I agree they're part of that two through seven, three through seven or eight that we've been talking about for like feels like 4 years now. But the question for me about these two is how well do they complement each other, and will they complement each other? And I'm not looking for an answer to that, obviously, but it's just, how does it all work together? And, you know, I'm trusting that Ime Udoka sees that Jalen Green has advanced his game and has developed to a point where, you know, he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands all the damn time, and he can play in a system kind of deal. And what does that look like? Can these two be complementary pieces in a system that works overall?
Yeah, and that's the big thing, too, with that. As you said, they both had what you could say, I don't know if it's breakout, but at least the best we've seen of them. But it came at the expense of the other, right? Like, now Jalen wasn't hurt, but it cleared. Like, it was a point where when Sengun was rolling, it was like, hey, man, maybe it just ain't going to work with Jalen. It's moved on. But then Jalen really turns it on when he gets hurt, and you're like, whoa. Even more, and Robert Horry said it. He has not reached his ceiling at all, and you started to see that more and more. You're like, well, this looks like a different player.
Yeah, I think you said it earlier. You brought up Jokic and Murray, and I think what's – and I mean, obviously those are similar, you know, big men, at least stylistically similar big men. But it's clear in that scenario that Murray is cool with playing Robin. Like, he's cool with being the two. Like, he's cool deferring to Jokic. And I wonder
if, and also because Jokic is a one that
sure
will defer.
Well, yeah. I mean? No question. But if you don't have that guy, you've got to play some style of offense. And I wonder, I wonder what that's going to look like, and who becomes the guy that defers really is the question I'm asking. I don't know if it's Shingun. I'm not saying it should be one or the other. I'm just saying in that scenario, some similar skill sets, it's blatantly obvious that one of them defers and says, yes, sir, I'll get you the rock. You know, and
or understand we know where this is going.
Sure. Yeah. And I wonder what that looks like for the Rockets.
Yeah. Someone texted in, Rockets have a starting lineup full of threes and fours. I think that's fair right now. No, you're right. That's fair. I think Shingun was trending towards maybe more than that. I think Shingun and Green at least have clear, not just potential, but you can clearly see the game and you say if they could be consistent with the way they played at their best for pretty good sample sizes for both of them, that could be a two level if they are able to maintain that. I'm not sure. We'll see that. Someone texted in who says you still can't trade them. I mean, yeah, you can, but I think they make this move that they're going to at least give it a realistic shot here, and that they're going to. And if Jalen Green stinks, I don't know how many people are going to want to take on that, you know, that contract at that point to pay him 30 whatever million dollars it would take. So, but hey, they made some moves. At least they have committed to something, and they know, you know, what it is that they want. But these two are the guys that are the cornerstones of this team moving forward. All right, as we continue riding here, remember, coming up 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans and the Colts. A big, big, big game coming up on Sunday. All you got to do, wait in the 5 o'clock hour when we give you that cue to call. In that 5 o'clock, I'll tell you right now, not just 5 o'clock hour, it will be in the first segment in the 5 o'clock hour.
A little fire.
We'll have a little fire.
You're going to get hard.
Sure.
That's an option. That's always an option. And if you are struggling with that, it's always an option for you to call the men's clinic. You can get real hard with that.
Good.
Flaccid, call quick. The men's clinic.
Quick. Yeah. Quick. You can do your thing. And as Clint would say, maybe stop by and grab you a Coors Light to really celebrate the thing. That's what I want to do. I got to ask my guy out there, can I come in with a drink celebration? If you're struggling with ED and it's been a while, can you come in?
Look,
can you come in
nipple,
with a Coors and once you see that thing?
M kind of struggles, you put a whole bottle on the nightstand and celebrate the hell out of it.
I want to go in my little room in there and pop it. I'm the guy. Look at this thing. I'm going in to try the product soon.
Oh, hello, Courtney.
I mean, Courtney's going to get to try the product.
They told me because it keep you.
You
there.
Are 40.
It keep you there for. I don't struggle. It keep you there for a minute.
Oh, see, he couldn't help it.
He couldn't keep it going.
You see how he did that?
He couldn't keep it going.
His pride got in the way, Kyle.
I want to test.
Oh, hold on now. I ain't flaccid.
But they told me they got an antidote. That brings it right back down because, you know, it'll hold for a couple of hours. Well,
my circulation is just fine.
I told him I don't want it.
Well, this is when you realize when you get a little pep in your step and you realize what you used to be, that's when you realize you have the need.
I told him I don't want the antidote. I told him I just want to walk around until it wears off.
This is possible? Wow.
What you got going on?
Yeah, girl.
All right, tape drop Tuesday, y'all. There was the pass protection, in particular the offensive line, is catching some absolute hell, rightfully so. But there's two other parts that were revealed of Sunday's game that were revealed on the All-22 tape that I can't decide if they're worse than what we saw from a protection standpoint. I know it's hard to believe, but it was uglier than we first saw at first glance on the TV copy. I'll tell you what those are. We'll cuss. We'll discuss next.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.